COVID.
That's all we have heard for the last year and a half, and it's what we continue to hear every single day.
The pandemic has reshaped the world and irreversibly changed the lives of each of us.
This year, classes are back in person, things are finally transitioning back to what we used to deem as normal, or to some sort of new normal.
The pandemic is not over yet, and we're all still trying to understand what this all means.
However, for all that we have heard and read about these changes, we still need to rethink our narrative
and reflect more deeply about our days and nights, losses and gains, tears and smiles during these times.
These reflections take time
and require careful sifting through our memories, thoughts, and emotions alongside study of data and expert analysis.
We think, and we hope you will too, that analyzing the stories we are telling about the pandemic is important.
Understanding the ways in which different leaders and experts are trying to persuade us to think and behave differently about
or because of the pandemic will help to prepare us to face the unpredictable future ahead of us.
So, welcome to the Voices Through the Mask podcast, a production by students at Emory University and David Morgan's New Media Writing class.
We may need to speak through our mask to create this podcast,
but we think we've got useful things to say about where we've been and where we are headed.
Hello, I'm Adriana English.
I'm Neil Bettina.
And I'm Saket Kolipara.
And welcome to the Unmasking the Memes edition of the Voices Through the Mask podcast. So, during the COVID-19 pandemic, memes have served as an entertaining way to share jokes, reflect on how people perceive the ongoing pandemic, but people don't realize that memes have an incredibly significant underlying impact of influencing people's thoughts and behaviors to the point of misinformation. Therefore, memes are a powerful medium in the world we live in that are worth discussing. All right, so let's just dive in.
I remember towards the beginning, not even just the beginning of the pandemic, but before it really reached the US, thinking about the kind of memes that were popular, I would say a lot of them were kind of making fun of the virus itself. Because it hadn't reached the US, I think a lot of the memes were making a joke out of COVID. And I think because of that, people didn't take it as seriously as it should be.
It was treated as something that would never affect us because I think there was a lot of viruses even before COVID, like, you know, the Zika virus that was just like treated as something that would be foreign. So a lot of these memes treated COVID like it was just a joke. It treated it like it was a meme, but at the end of the day, I think it also contributed to xenophobia to some degree because it was treated like, oh, the Chinese virus, oh, it's foreign. And I think that memes perpetuated that kind of culture as well, which obviously is not positive.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I think that because we weren't taking it seriously and because we thought that it would never really hit the United States, when it did, there was chaos.
So I guess speaking a little bit more about the chaos, at the beginning of the pandemic, I think there was a lot of confusion as to how to quarantine because this has been the first pandemic in almost everybody's lives. And I think just the idea of quarantining was very new to everybody. So there memes really latched onto that as a concept because we're all sharing the same thoughts about something that we are all doing for the first time. And in quarantining, one of the, new experiences that a lot of people faced were getting the basic essentials that you need for yourself. And I think that one major storyline in particular was the chaos in grocery stores for just basic essentials like hand sanitizer or toilet paper.
So are you stationed here to guard the toilet paper?
I'm the bodyguard of the toilet paper.
That's amazing.
And people fighting over those basic essentials was a big joke or a big meme amongst the internet community. And I think that was a very memed up topic.
And it is positive for coronavirus, COVID-19. I'm very sorry. It's not possible. I have so much toilet paper.
Right, and kind of building off of that, I mean, that toilet paper hysteria was, honestly, I'd never seen anything like that growing up. And I think it has to do with our relationship with memes, right? So memes reflect the way we think, but they also control how we think. So in this situation, because of all of that hysteria that resulted in the production of these toilet paper memes that are circulating, those memes influenced more people and other individuals to go and get toilet paper just because they felt like they were missing out on something, or they felt they were afraid that they would run out. So it's kind of like this idea, this behavioral contagion and herd mentality that influences individuals' behavior.
So I think that's a really good analysis. And I also remember that it wasn't just toilet paper and all these basic necessities that people were kind of going crazy over. Some other initial things I remember going on, especially with mask wearing, I guess people didn't really know what to do. And you would see people, especially like in memes, you'd see people wearing like a CD as a mask or that says antivirus on it, if that works. Or some people would wear like a giant water bottle over their head, or a scuba suit, or some kind of costume to serve as a mask.
This woman is walking around Costco in her snorkeling mask. People have lost their minds.
In some ways, I think it could be their way of like coping with COVID, because it kind of like makes you laugh. It's like, I guess we're like, people are trying to do what they can, but trying to make light of the situation even when it's really serious.
Yeah, I know. I've even seen like people wearing like meshes as masks, which is like the dumbest thing ever. But I think it just goes to show you that it's not just like, these memes are just not like a reflection of how people think, but also how people behave.
Just talking about behavior, going back to that toilet paper concept, I think the idea that people were competing and like fighting for toilet paper, that just kind of reflects our innate drive towards being aggressive and being competitive. I'm a neuroscience major, and in some of our courses, we've studied this innate drive, and we've seen how it goes back to chimpanzees, for example. And I think those toilet paper memes basically encapsulate that innate drive. And it also shows how context can alter what we're fighting for. Because, you know, 2 months before the pandemic, we were competing in the stock market, in college, you know, trying to get into med school or whatever. But now suddenly you're at a grocery store and you're just trying to get some toilet paper. So I think that's definitely worth the... I mean, it's really interesting how we behave like that.
I think that you're right about that. And a lot of the aggression that you're just talking about was also translated into people disagreeing with others ideologically. And I think that was really displayed through a lot of memes. And especially, I think one very interesting genre of memes, so-called genre, are Karen memes.
That's a... Excuse me?
I'm coming through.
If you're not familiar with Karen memes, it's basically making fun of someone who is, who I guess is a buzzkill, or someone, at least in the context of COVID, is an anti-masker, anti-vaccine type person.
I have a breathing problem. My doctor would not let me wear a mask. So anyone harassing me to wear a mask, you guys are violating federal law. Get that? Get that?
Certainly do. You are part. They're pushing the agenda.
How embarrassing.
At the end, I don't wear a mask for the same reason I don't wear underwear. Things gotta breathe.
I guess it's just like, you know, like making fun of them and just very clearly having a negative conception of them. And I think it just goes to create two different ideologies and just polarizing those two ideologies. And those two groups are obviously people that are very pro-mask, pro-vaccine, and those that are not pro-mask, pro-vaccine.
Yeah, put your mask on, Karen.
No, I don't think so.
So it just goes to show you that memes have also played a significant role in, you know, polarizing people.
So that's really interesting that you brought that up, because people tend to latch onto these ideas, right? And they prefer latching onto something versus latching onto nothing. And there's actually a paper by this neuroscientist by the name of Ming Su, and he studies brain functioning in response to uncertainty and uncertain situations. And turns out that when people are presented with a risky option and an uncertain, unsure type of option, they'll still go for the risky option. So just for the sake of being certain. And when it comes to this polarization, right, like I think that's this uncertainty aversion is what's contributing to the polarization. So even if it does seem like a ridiculous idea, people are still going to latch on to it because it provides them with some sort of security.
Yeah, so I think people latching on to these ideas can also influence the spread of misinformation. When you think about how people are getting their news these days, especially on social media, if you're just scrolling through your feed, sometimes the first thing that you might read about the vaccine or the first thing you might read about COVID is through a meme. And depending on how that meme is presented, if it's, promoting like anti-vax ideals or pro-vaccine ideals or anti-mask ideals, that can kind of already influence like how you might think about the vaccine if you don't have any prior knowledge about it. So one really good example of this I noticed was when Donald Trump was thinking about how people should be treated with COVID.
I'm not a doctor, but I'm like a person that has a good, you know.
I remember there being this idea of using or injecting Lysol as like some form of treatment.
I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that?
And it very quickly became a meme that was spread all across social media, making fun of it in a way, because it's just really, it's kind of very random, doesn't really make too much sense, I suppose. And some people might take it too seriously and end up harming themselves if they try to use this as an actual treatment rather than getting vaccinated.
It sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, and it's just really unfortunate to think that memes are a lot of people's primary source of information. It just goes to show you how much of an impact they have on how people think.
Yeah, but that's, again, like, that's what it is, right? Because it's instant, right? Like, you don't have to wait for that source of information. You don't have to, like, go and type it out in a computer to, you know, go to some news website. And that's just a problem. And I think memes and people who create the memes are taking advantage of that mindset.
And I think that there's also some sort of a comfort in the fact that, like, the knowledge from memes are coming from people that are similar to you. So there's some form of, like, confirmation bias in that sense, because, like, you're sharing ideals with people that you know have the same ideals as you. So I think it's just a vicious circle in that way.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I definitely think that these memes over the course of the pandemic have influenced how we cope with COVID and how we think about COVID.
Yeah, and also like just how we behave literally in response to COVID.
It just goes to show you how much of an impact memes have on our society.
That's a wrap. Special thanks to Adriana English, our line producer, Saket Kolipara, our assistant producer, and Neil Bethina, our producer. With regards to a list of sources, that's going to be in our episode description. And finally, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Have a good one.
I just want y'all to know that I got some of that white for sale. I ain't talking about cocaine. I'm talking about that TP. Because I know a lot of y'all can't find it where y'all at in them stores. So you walk around with a dirty butthole. Well, this here, this ain't that generic off-brand stuff, all right? This is that Charmin, that two-ply. And I'll sell it to you for $1 a sheet.